Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello everyone, welcome to Chicks Talking Footy tonight. I'm Motti, and here with me to spend the next hour rabbiting on about footy are Beck and Bree.
I'm Beck.
I'm Breeza.
Welcome to the show, Chicks.
Just to clarify, in case there was any confusion about who we were or what we were doing here.
There's no confusion ever. I think our people know.
Our people do know.
Yeah, you've each got your fan clubs, so I think they're across it.
Yeah.
We've also got Gary here pressing all our buttons tonight in Fee's absence, which, you know.
Ooh!
And his own sound effects, which, to be honest, is a bit of a thrill.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Who doesn't want buttons pressed?
That's true.
Well, I know I could do with a few. Anyway.
Do we all remember what happened last time the three of us were on and Gary was pressing the buttons?
I did. We won an award. So it could happen again tonight. Watch this space.
In fact, it'll be disappointing if it doesn't.
Ah, oh, Gary.
I wish I'd brush my hair just in case.
You know what this is? This is the greatest week in the football calendar because the football literally goes from Friday to Wednesday.
It does.
And then we have to have a day off tomorrow, which is annoying, and then round six starts again on Friday.
Well, that's...
So it's literally the greatest week in football.
I know. It does feel like it's gone on a bit.
No, it doesn't, Brie. It feels like it could go on more.
I'll just quickly give everyone the heads up on who's on the show tonight. Daniel Harford, the new coach of Carlton's AFLW team, will join us for a chat.
Half. Do you think we can call him Half?
I reckon.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah.
Everyone else does. It would sound weird if we didn't.
Yeah.
We're also going to just chat about all the games that from the Anzac round. We've also got two new amazing segments. People are just going to... I'd probably just be writing in. I wouldn't be surprised if SEN have got them on their show, you know, 0700. Bob Murphy will probably do it. We've got Specky Becky's Barrel.
That's going to be something.
That is something. And Motti's Magics and Tragics.
I like it.
I've got to say, I think it'll be more the latter.
Tragics. Yeah. From Essendon.
Yeah, just the Essendon team, Motti.
Well, no, more tragic. Just sort of my inability to create a really sparkling segment, but still.
Mine's just me getting on my soapbox, but with a fancy name for it.
I love it. Mm. So should we chat games, friends? Should we start? When do we start? From today's game and work backwards?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Do you want to do that?
Or do you want to leave today, Motti? No, let's start with today's. Best to counter your fears as quickly as possible.
Okay. Would someone else like to start? Collingwood trounced Essendon.
Oh, did they trounce the Motti 14-7-101 to 7-10-52? Oh, yeah, that's arguably a trouncing.
Mm, capital T.
What happened, Motti? Because you're now responsible for the entire future of the Essendon Football Club. What happened?
They were just useless. They weren't in the game. I love my team, as you know. The forwards were ineffective together. We've seen games where Danaher and Stewart and the rest of them were all played, you know, beautifully in concert. They were all over the place. They didn't lead to the ball. They just expected the ball to be given to them where they wanted it. Backline tried, but Bagley just was outclassed by whenever they had a resting, you know, midfield or forward. And Collingwood were too good, probably.
Because, Motti, you had me convinced about Essendon last week because you said the backs are back in the back line, the forwards are back in the forward line, we're all going to be good.
Yeah, but, you know, a week's a long time in football, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, losers. But there's been some exciting things in the game. Goddard's lost it.
Goddard has lost it. And he is a man known for losing it. Let's be honest, this is not his first rodeo.
Talk us through it, Beck.
Well, he had a bit of a word to say. Well, he had a couple of words to say, actually. He had a word to say to Joe Danaher and a word to say to Zaharakis.
Yep.
And I do not like that on the field. Motti?
No, neither do I. Breeza?
I don't mind it, but it should be coming from your captain, I would have thought. I'm not sure it's his role to be doing that.
Well, he's a vice-captain, but I think it's sort of... It looks completely over the top from him, but it looks slightly weak from Heppel when Heppel's kind of standing next to him and letting him do that.
Because, as the captain, you step in, don't you, and you say that's not appropriate social behaviour, Brendan.
But, Bree, you mentioned before when we were watching it that you think he should lose a week, Goddard, because that shouldn't happen in terms of a team sanction, because you don't think that should happen on the field.
Yeah, I think, Essendon will have to address it. I think that... it really had an impact on field after that. Like, Essendon fell away really quickly in the last quarter after that behaviour on field.
But it's not his first behaviour like that. No. You know, we've all seen that scene where he was down the change room throwing food lollies around the change room.
Yeah, the pretzels.
And he stands there and he puts his hands out and almost does like a cartoon hrumph.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks as if it's everyone else's fault. It's not.
And the other thing, this isn't the point, but he wasn't out there winning the game for them. It's not like he was playing, you know, spectacularly better than the rest of them.
Well, Twitter has lit up about this.
Oh, tell us, please.
Give us a go. Well,
yeah, so Twitter's
where you get your best info.
That's right. So with Brendan, it's always someone else's problem. Would you agree with that?
There you go. I just said that, exactly.
And that was Matthew Lloyd that said that, wasn't it?
Mm, yeah.
He'd know.
Pull your head in. That's not your job.
Yeah, just random Twitter person. Yeah, I like that.
I think that might have been Danny Frawley.
Oh, yeah, less random, but...
He had a long one.
If I was Danaher...
Sorry. That's what she said.
If I was Danaher, I would say to Goddard, any danger you guys could kick it forward.
Yeah, that was Danny's long one,
I think. That was Danny's one, wasn't it? And then the last one I've seen was, you wouldn't want to be a bowl of pretzels after that game.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anyway,
watch this space because I do think Essendon's going to have to deal with it in some respect.
Is he in the leadership group, Monty?
Yes. Mm. And rounding out that
might
game.
Might have to deal with himself, so to speak.
Rounding out that game from, from an Essendon perspective, Dyson Heppel was interviewed after the game and one of his quotes was, that's footy for you, it can be a bastard of a game.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fair play,
Dyson. That. And also we must mention that there was another team and Collingwood.
Yeah, well done them. Adam Treloar, well done on winning the Anzac Day medal.
Correct.
Well done to my boyfriend, Scott Pendlebury, on playing in a good game. And well done to Brodie Grundy on his hair just being spectacular.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good.
Tick. Tick, tick,
tick, tick, tick, tick, tick, tick. Last night, Breezer.
Yes, I was at this game.
That's a surprise.
Yes. Now, the score
Richmond versus Demons is the game for
those. What was the score, Beck?
The score was Demons 8-8-56, defeated by Richmond 15-12.
Oh, I forgot to write what that adds up to.
102 or 101, something like that.
A lot.
Yes, Melbourne threw the kitchen sink at us and Richmond absorbed all of their pressure and then Melbourne got tired and Richmond ran away with it. So.
Yeah, Melbourne were a bit disappointing to me because I thought Melbourne had some spunk about them.
Yeah, they're not playing with spunk at the moment.
But it is like they just fell away.
They were very fumbly as well. Like it was that perceived pressure and... I think when you lose a couple in a row and coming off that awful effort against Hawthorn, they're a bit fumbly.
Because I think it was in the second quarter, I thought, oh, God, Melbourne might get up on you here. But no, it was not to be.
Not to be.
Now, Bree, fun fact we love on this.
We do.
Now, Richmond is the top of the ladder.
We are, Beck.
What happened last time Richmond were at the top of the ladder, Breezer?
It was back in 1995.
And how many of your players were not born then, Bree?
I think 4.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's a great start.
Yeah,
Other thing, you know I'm not a big Richmond fan, but there is someone...
Don't you love us?
No,
I'm sure you love us.
No, I don't. There is someone in Richmond who has taken my fancy in the last couple of weeks, Breezer.
Are we allowed to
Alex
guess?
Alex Rance.
No.
Oh.
Higgins.
Yes, Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
How cute.
Now, that
How cute
kid...
is he?
So Higgins is the
Second game player, yeah.
At one point, he had 8 kicks in AFL footy and 5 goals from those 8 kicks.
Yeah.
Now, he is like a 12-year-old skater kid. That interview he did after the game, I've never heard anyone so excited about the game of football.
Apparently, he slept at the MCG before his first game. Like, he was that excited.
I love him.
Yeah.
And it's so pure. Like, I don't think, touch wood, but I don't think he's going to do anything dodgy. I don't think he's going to go off the rails. He's just a kid that loves footy.
He just looks like a really passionate kid. He gave up year 12 halfway through because he really wanted to concentrate on becoming an AFL player, which is all he'd ever wanted to do. And I saw, I read something today that said that sort of raised eyebrows in terms of his recruiting and whether teams thought that was a flaw in his personality or not. So he actually slipped to number 17 when probably should have gone a lot higher.
Yeah. Well,
so Richmond did super well.
You know how we
love
stats?
Yes.
He was champion data's number one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so and he slipped to 17. So Richmond's got a bargain there. And he's just a smart footballer. He's one of those ones that... can read the ball really well and gets into the right spot. So
he looks quite small, is that right?
Yeah, he is, and I think that was the knock on him, I think, as well.
As well,
but,
okay.
So, yes, watch this space. He's exciting. And actually, I want to mention Beck, our friend of our show, Kane Lambert,
yes.
was very good last night.
He was very good last very night, good actually. Last he's night. A friend so, of our show.
Hello, Kane, if you are listening to
no
the show.
No doubt he is
yep.
an avid listener of the show. Now, we have about 8 other games to get through.
Well, we might go to a break first, I reckon, don't That's you think?
Because you two have had your airplay. I want to talk about the queries
so,
for a minute.
Do you remember, you can contact us on 0427JOY949. Or on air at joy.org.au. If you don't understand what the phone number means, it's 0427 569 949. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy.
Joy.
Hello, you're on Chicks Talking Footy. You've got Motti, you've got Bree, you've got Beck. And we are, oddly enough, talking about footy.
We are. And we are still talking about round 5 results, the longest round in the history of the world.
We're up to our third game.
Take us back, Beck. Take us back to Friday night.
Well, we've actually had a message in. Sounding fabulous, ladies. How come there's no mention of my favourite Richmond player, Dustin Hoffman?
Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
Well, that is actually my lovely partner, Claire, who occasionally sort of will sidle up and try and watch a bit of footy with me, which she does. And last night, no, in your game, she said, is he really good, that Dustin Hoffman?
Yes, very good.
And then,
good.
Then she immediately announced that she now barracks for Richmond.
Oh, excellent.
So there you go.
Is that
Hello,
she's
Claire.
A big fan of Rain Man or... Yeah. Anyway, so last Friday night, 150 years ago, my team, the Crows, played Sydney in Sydney and won by 10 points, which was really, really important for the team because we were had our backs to the wall, as they say, in the footy vernacular.
And decimated by injury.
Decimated by injury. I thought I was going to play half forward at one stage, which I was pretty damn excited about.
I would have liked to have seen
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, it would have been good. But they did win. It was great. Tex Walker played well, which was really important because he's been much maligned, as, again, I'm talking like a footy commentator, in the last couple of weeks. And a lot of pressure on him. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he was voted the best captain 2 weeks in a row, but he can't show leadership. But I think he really did stand up and show a bit last week.
It's reminiscent, I think, of 2016, which is when Cochin went through all of that controversy with his leadership and, there were a lot of knocks on his ability to be captain. So hopefully Tex can build on that.
The other thing that didn't happen in that game was Buddy Franklin didn't fire, and now we've discovered he's injured, so that probably explains a little bit.
And Hannabury as well, they're both out. And Josh Kennedy has played poorly
Josh
in all
Kennedy
games.
Josh Kennedy really hasn't played at all, has he?
He's off his tucker for sure.
Sydney are in a precarious position, don't you think? I mean, I don't want to go the early crow or anything, but precarious, and we'll talk about that later, but they're hard to read Sydney at the moment.
The other thing I want to mention about that game, about Buddy Franklin, is him wiping the ball.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
With his chucks.
With the chucks cloth. Mm. And the Steve Hocking, what's his name, he's the AFL Football Operations Manager, has come out and said the only thing you can use to clean the ball is your uniform, so your jumper, your socks or your shorts, not the chucks. But I'm disappointed that he didn't get sanctioned for that somehow.
Do you think he's done it every week and they never noticed, or is it...
No, I've never noticed it. I would notice something like that.
But I want to see him do a press conference at the airport and cry.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Now, should we whip through the other team?
Yeah, let's.
So there was the...
Draw.
The draw Saturday.
Oh, there was.
The Saints versus Giants. Poor old Saints.
Poor Saint Kilda. Shout out to Saints Pride and their head captain, Mikey Cole, who listens to us every week. But I just thought, oh, poor Saint Kilda. Like, they've really struggled this season and a draw's not quite
Is it worse getting that close? Or being beaten by 25 or...
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder. But look, I reckon, Mikey, to be honest, Mikey might be able to text in and tell us what's worse. But I reckon to get that close to GWS, who are playing well, is actually nothing to be embarrassed by.
No, it's not
They should have won. I mean, Carlisle said himself he should have marked that ball.
Yeah. But there was also a free kick in there, I reckon, too. So, look, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Exactly. Mm. Carlton Eagles, 69 to Carlton, 79 to Eagles. Carlton continue on their merry, unsuccessful way.
Yeah, I don't reckon they're getting anywhere good anytime soon.
No, I mean, this is a long rebuild.
Yeah.
But they've got so much potential, Carlton. This is what I don't understand. You know, last year we were talking about all those young players they had coming on and they just don't seem to have come on.
Well, Cripps is dynamite.
Mm.
They're going to, you know, Murphy and Simpson will be gone pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the next sort of 2 years.
Two years, three.
Anyway, so next one, Port 50, were beaten by the Cats 84 in Port.
Yeah, I was surprised.
It's a great win.
I enjoyed this game. I thought it was quite good.
Well, I didn't because I tipped Port, which is not something I do joyfully, and they lost, so that was disappointing.
I tipped the Cats.
Double pain.
Cats are impressive, I reckon. And I think what's impressive to me about the Cats is it's not actually Selwood and Dangerfield. No. And I mean, I know Ablett's not playing, but it's not their top line players, I reckon, that are being really impressive. It's all those guys with headbands in the back line and long hair that all seem the same to me. That seem to be doing really well.
They've brought in some new talent too, which has made an instant impact. Like, you know, Fogarty, there's Radaglia.
Kelly, Tim Kelly in the centre. And Stewart with one of the dudes in the back line that you speak of. I think he came in last year and he was already a, you know, seasoned footballer of, you know, he's been playing for 4 years or something. So
I reckon Geelong know to have a succession plan.
They sure do.
And they have for a long time.
What's his name? Stephen someone, the recruiter down there.
Yeah, because they've, I mean...
Stephen Wells.
Thank you.
Mm. The last few years, they've had some really big names go out and they just seem to have a factory of Cats.
Unbelievable. And Ablett's, you know, what do we think? They're saying, oh, he's a chance for next week.
I don't reckon.
Three more weeks? What's your guess?
I reckon that's a longer term injury than they're saying.
Now, Chicks, an ugly incident came out of this one.
Yes, it did. It's one of Moddy's tragics.
Oh, is it? Okay, I won't steal your segment.
No, it's really a reasonably average segment, so more than happy to
talking it up, are you, Moddy?
Lindsay Thomas.
Yeah, first game for Port and gets rubbed out for 4 weeks for two separate incidents.
That's not good, is it?
No.
If you're Port Adelaide, do you think, oh, do we have the receipt for Lindsay Thomas? Like, can you get to North Melbourne to have some kind of refund? Can they swap him for someone else?
Look, that opens a broader topic about bumping and tackling and all that sort of stuff, and then what the tribunal do for you and how many weeks you get. You know, that's a huge topic to go through and has been this week. But Thomas, that was intentional.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. You know, there's some murky water on some of the other ones, but that was intentional. He's got form.
I was going to say he knows what is and is not okay.
He's been in the system a long time.
Does he not want to learn?
Huge rap sheet for different misconduct and rough conduct charges.
Yeah,
but he completely took his eyes off the ball and then ran past the ball and then shirt front and Selwood right up the middle. Yeah.
It's interesting that Selwood was charged and got a week and then got off his week for remonstrating afterwards, but Lindsay Thomas is part of in that remonstration stuck. They don't like him.
No, doesn't seem like a likeable lad. Now, we've had a message from Mikey Cole about our question whether a draw is better than a loss. So Mikey says, I was happy with the draw, but maybe I was still on a high from talking to Brucey at three-quarter time. Now, Josh Bruce is Mikey Cole's favourite player.
Of all time.
Even though he's cut his hair, which I was personally upset by.
Oh, shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
What do you mean spoke to him at three-quarter time?
On the field? Maybe Mikey was down in the rooms. I don't know.
Mikey, you're now a trainer.
In the grandstand. I think Bruce is injured.
Oh, is he? Yeah, right. Oh, that makes more sense.
Not because of his hair. Separate issue.
Mikey streaked out onto the ground, having chatted to Brucey into the huddle.
And Mikey also says, we'll beat the Hawks this week, but with two question marks. So I'm not sure he's that confident about that.
Thank you, Mikey. Love that. Love your communications.
Yes.
Next game was Frio. 108 to Bulldogs 54. Well done, Dockers.
Mm. I know. I tipped the Dogs.
Yeah. Dogs.
Oh, you couldn't tip the Dogs over there.
Yeah, I did. Why did you do that?
Smack your bottom, Breeze.
I'm just waiting for the Dogs to show something. Like,
I don't think they're going to, Breezer.
I know.
I think this is just where they're at.
Well, and I think it's hard over there. But, you know, Nat Fyfe, what did he have, 40 possessions or something?
Yeah.
And he's different to other accumulators in that all his count and
he's enormous.
As a guy,
as a midfielder.
He's a unit.
He's enormous.
And he's very handsome. Is that relevant to this conversation?
Yeah
sure.
Everything's relevant.
Does he still have a man bun?
I'm not sure where his man buns are at the moment, but I'll get back to it.
Yeah.
And then we also had North Melbourne 98 beating Hawthorn 70. James Sicily, don't get me started.
That was unbelievable, that match. North,
yeah, it was a good match.
I saw that first quarter and I was heading off somewhere. I went, no, I'm not. I'm staying because they were incredible.
So, Hawthorn are lucky they got that close.
Yeah.
And that only came in the last quarter. I didn't watch the last quarter, so I presume that in junk time, was it, that they got those goals? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it was realistically over at half time. They were far in front. Hawthorn then you know, mounted some kind of comeback, but then...
But I'm really mad at James Sisley. I know I've gone on about this a lot, but you do not stamp on people's legs when they're lying on the ground.
Yeah. And way behind play, not even near. It wasn't an act of desperation or anything.
And he came out of the tribunal last night and said, oh, I'm embarrassed. It up. I was so you bloody should be, James.
Mm. Yeah, anyway. What did I think of the Burton and Higgins clash?
I think that was the right decision because he should have tackled him.
Do you mean to get that he was suspended?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, not the right decision to bump him. That was the wrong decision. He had the opportunity to tackle him. He should have tackled him.
Mm. I don't know.
So he should have been suspended.
Yes, he should have been suspended.
I'm with you, Beck.
But it's such a dodgy area because his body didn't hit Higgins in the head. It was their heads bounced into each other, and that's what caused
that. And then there's that thing they say, you know, could he reasonably have foreseen the head contact?
No.
Yes.
I think he could have. I think he chose not to tackle him.
That's right. As soon as you've got a choice and you don't choose to execute a tackle, you can foresee you're going to bump someone in the head.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I find it this such a difficult area, and I think lots of coaches and things do as well because, you know, they can't go out there prepared because they don't know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, they are trying to make decisions in the spur of the moment, but he had a good 8 to 10 steps and you could tell he kind of stopped just before he did it when he realised it was a bad idea.
Okay.
But he'd already committed to the bump.
Hmm.
Poor old Sean Higgins had a baby that morning.
I know.
I mean, not him so much as his partner, but... Yeah. You know.
And poor old Ed Vickers-Willis, who was knocked out about 10 seconds later, he's just gone into oblivion, the poor love. His incident, hasn't it? I must say, flag, that I have a family relation to Ed, so of course I'm going to bring that up. But poor bugger.
Such a name dropper, Monty.
Mm. Yeah, it was all Higgins. Higgins.
Higgins, also very handsome.
Also very handsome.
I should just do a
top... John Hans, handsome what?
Yeah, I'm going to do a segment called Players I Think Are Handsome.
Okay, good.
I think that's every segment.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so
we
now
we're here
we've,
a while.
We've teased Motti's Magics and Tragics. We've teased Becky's Barrel. They're going to come later in the show. Do not worry. But coming up after this break, we have got Daniel Harford, who's the coach of the AFLW. And don't forget, you can text us in on 0427 569 949.
Hi, this is Matt Finnis, CEO of the Saints, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on 94.9 Joy FM.
You're with Chicks Talking Footy, and on the line we have someone we're delighted to talk about, and that is the new coach of the AFLW Carlton team, Daniel Harford. Welcome, Daniel.
G'day, team. How are we doing?
Good. Right off the bat, I should say, is it okay if we call you Half?
Absolutely. I'd be disturbed if you didn't.
Oh, good. We did have that conversation pre-show, and we were like, no, he'll be fine with it. So I'm glad you are.
Yeah, no worries. That's who I am. That's cool.
Well, so firstly, congratulations on the appointment, and that's great. That's great. You'll take all your coaching ability down there. So are you thrilled that you've had previous connection to Carlton, or does it not really make a difference to you?
Oh, no, there is certainly an element that's nice. It's a nice touch. But I don't think it's necessary to coach any club to have an affiliation. But the fact that there is 9 games of mediocrity behind me is nice to be able to go back and just be a part of it again. I really did enjoy my year at Carlton. It was the thing I needed to do at that stage of my career. I needed to get out and see what the rest of the football world looked like. And I had a hell of a time. Didn't go sort of the way I would have liked. In the end, mentally I was cooked, so I retired after that. But, yeah, it was nice to do it, and I certainly have very fond memories of my time at Carlton. Hopefully that continues.
Now, Daniel, it's Bree here. I'm interested, what do you think you'll be able to bring to Carlton from your years of coaching?
Oh, look, I think I've got a fair understanding of footy and how to coach it. I've been doing it for 10 years at a pretty good level, Divi 1 in the Eastern Footy League and B grade and A grade in the AMOs. So I've coached at a pretty good level. And then, of course, my last 7 months with the Magpies as an assistant. I've got a fair understanding of what the game should look like. And I think the last 7 months, having been involved with the AFLW competition, has opened my eyes to women's footy, firstly, but also to what the game can look like at that level. And I think I've got a good understanding of that. And part of my strength set, I think, or skill set, is the way that I can teach that and articulate that to whoever it is I'm coaching at the time and be able to put together a plan and a platform to build on and hopefully grow a game to become a really successful format. So that's what I reckon I bring a bit of energy as well. I like to be a bit upbeat and have a good time. Because footy is the greatest game in the world, I think, and I'm fairly biased, of course, but I think it's the most dynamic game that's on the planet, and I just think everyone should love being a part of it. I still play Super Rules because I'm a stupid old fool. And, it's a great game, and I think I sort of bring that energy with me as well.
Now, Half, it's Beck here. I'm a Crow supporter, but I'm also a mad Bree Davey supporter. There's been a lot of talk about her leaving Carlton and being lured across to Collingwood. Is she still going to be the captain of the Blues next year?
I would like to say yes to that, Christian. I'm going to catch up with Bruiser in the short term, and we'll work on that. I think that that's what will happen. Clearly, there's been an offer from the Pies, and I thought I knew about that a little while ago, actually.
I wondered if
you might have some inside.
Part of the Collingwood hierarchy. I wasn't involved in it, but I knew of it. So I sort of had a foot in both camps for the last little while, but I'm very keen to make sure that Bree, who's just a fabulous player, remains a captain of her footy club, because she's not only a great player, but she's a tremendous leader. And one thing that I think the competition loves and needs more of is players are able to lead and drag their teams into a higher level of play. And Bree certainly can do that from a Carlton perspective. And we'll be doing everything we can to make sure that that's, as the skipper of the Navy Blues.
That would be a huge loss for you guys if she wasn't there, because I think
you're
even
not
if,
gone yet.
No. I'm saying if there was a massive if in there, because she, even if you don't know a whole lot about football, you could watch a game with her playing and you could tell she was good. You know, if, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, she really just does stand out as an exceptional player. So I hope you buy her a good coffee and, you know, that chat goes down well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to book in a date with her and find out what we can do about that. But, yeah, pretty keen to keep her. Obviously, she's, you know, no one wants to ever lose a captain of their club, regardless of what level or standard it is. And Bree's no different to that. She's a fabulous part of our footy club and a great player. So
yeah.
We'll do what we can. We'll do what we can.
I think buy the mug of cappuccino rather than just the standard size. That would be my suggestion.
But yeah, that's fair.
Right. So would you sit in, or would you go for a walk and then with a takeaway and just enjoy the scenery?
Oh, actually, takeaway. Take her around Princess Park. Good view, yeah. You know, make her feel like she should be really comfortable there. Actually, that's a good idea.
And just have it set up like that, people keep popping out from behind trees saying, oh, Bree, you're my favourite Carlton player. Can we have your autograph?
Well, if you go around Icon Park, that wouldn't be too hard. There'd be plenty of thinking that she's their favourite player.
Have a whole lot of Silvanis lined up. Anything could happen.
You got it stitched up, don't worry. Now,
to pop out of a pot plant somewhere.
Oh, Juddy. I love that Juddy didn't get into the one of the AFLW games last year.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
Didn't have his pass or something. Oh, people,
that's
serious.
Right. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Pictures at Icon Park. Don't worry about that.
Now, Daniel, I remember you as a when I've been watching football quite a long time, so I remember you when you played and you were aggressive and tough and hard at the ball. What do you think women need to learn most when they're playing AFLW football?
You sure got the right bloke?
Yeah, I saw you in your Hawthorn days and your Carlton days, yeah.
Yeah, the line just broke up again. I missed the actual question on that, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. What do you think women need to learn most when they're playing AFLW football?
Look, I think the biggest thing in AFLW footy, from what I've seen in the intimately, obviously, in the last season and then just watching from afar in the first season, is being able to get the ball in traffic. If you can win the ball in traffic in AFLW and be clean with your possession, I think the game can open up really significantly from there. So I would be, and I mentioned this in the press conference, whenever that was yesterday, that fundamentals are going to be a big part of what we'll be doing through the rest of this campaign leading into the pre-season for season three. We've just got to get the fundamentals right. If you're clean with the ball when it's on the ground, which is where it spends the majority of the game, be it men's football or women's football, that's where it is. So we've got to be able to get the ball cleanly and congestion it and get it out into space really quickly. So that'll be one of our real key factors that we'll be working on through the off-season. So I think without that, it's you play toss the coin footy and potluck footy. I'm not big on that. I like to have a fair understanding of what we're capable of doing and what we're able to do any given time, rather than just hoping that you can do it, that we practice and reinforce the fundamentals and basics so that they are the things that we build our game on, our cornerstone of our game.
Now, Half, the ad for the Carlton AFLW head coach was very well publicised, and one of the highly publicised aspects of it was the 20% off at the Carlton shop, which was part of the contract. Have you purchased anything from the Carlton shop yet?
Well, no, I haven't, but there's a good reason for that. I've been taking orders from all of my family and friends. So I want to buy in bulk and go in, not only negotiate the 20% discount, but maybe even a further discount because we're buying bulk items.
No, that's sensible, so actually, yeah.
That makes sense, doesn't it? The more you buy, the more you save, sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I like that.
I reckon buy a couple of new hoodies for Bree Davy as well.
Yeah, while you're there.
I'll buy Bree or whatever I need to buy.
Bree Davy now owns the Carlton shop.
Indeed, she does.
Now, I've got a free car park too. Don't forget about that.
Oh, no, sorry. I did remember the free car park. That was another aspect of it.
I drove there on Sunday when Andy McKay rang me, and I just drove to Icon Park. No one was there, but I found my free car park. I just sat in there for an hour in my car just to enjoy the freedom.
Yeah, no, that's right. Good. That's what you want. You want the freedom of a car park.
I bet you could have had any car park that day.
Yeah, I could have, but I found mine.
You wanted yours, yeah. And you put your Dymo. Did you put your Dymo label, your name on it?
Half? How did you know I had a Dymo?
Oh, you sound like a Dymo kind of guy.
I am a Dymo kind of guy. That's very good by you. Well played.
Wow, nice. Now, you've got a lot of personalities. Bree's one. You've got Darcy Vesio. You've got Taylor Harris. You know, big personalities in your team. So how do you manage them? Do you allow them a certain amount of natural flair and then fit the team around them, or is it always like a strict team first game?
Yeah, well, it's a strict team first game, but I think you create, and this goes for every player, let alone the bigger names or the star power players in the competition and certainly Carlton, you create a framework of what you want. And then within that, there's leeway and element of flair and colour and character that you're able to display. That's fine. And I was one of those players. I had a bit of flair back in the old days. It got beaten out of me pretty quickly, but I enjoyed playing with a bit of fun and charisma, and I think that's a really important part of playing footy, is to express yourself a bit. So I am more than happy, and when I get to know the girls a bit better, I'll understand what makes them tick and what they like to do and what we can sort of shape a little bit to become a more efficient footy club. But yeah, be yourself, play the game you need to play, but within our framework. And I think that's the art of coaching, is to get the best out of your players through not just such a rigid framework and structure that you start to strangle players, but have something in place where they could feel that they can play the game on their terms a bit, express themselves the way they need to, but always within what the parameters are that have been set by the coaching staff. And that's just the art of coaching, I reckon. That's no different to any level of footy.
You know, someone like Taylor Harris, if you saw, I went, not sure if you were at the game last year when she took that, you know, full-on mark.
Mm.
You know, huge pack mark, and you wouldn't want to stop that. Yeah, she's a gun.
Now,
there's not many, in fairness to the rest of the competition, there's not many that can catch the ball and mark the ball like Taylor can.
No,
so I agree.
Somewhere near her vicinity is a good spot for us.
Yeah, that's right. And she does know how to box, so you want to be careful about that too.
Yeah, I've seen some videos about that. Oh, yeah. Actually, funnily enough, my wife goes to the same gym that Taylor does a bit of work at. So I've seen a bit of Taylor up close in the gym, and I wouldn't like to be behind one of those punches, I'll tell you that much.
So you behave yourself at home and at work then, Huff.
You betcha.
Now, last year we had a lot of talk about Carlton at the beginning of the season. I think a lot of us had really high hopes for them, which I guess didn't come off. What's your aim for next season? What does success look like for the Blues next year?
Well, success looks like winning. More often than we did this year, no doubt. Where that leads us, you know, I'm not prepared to go into too much detail because I don't know just yet. What you said at the start is really interesting, that there was so much expected of Carlton last year, and you're right. And being at Collingwood, even in the pre-season, talking about the teams that we thought might contend for premierships and the grand final, Carlton and the Bulldogs were the two teams that I think everyone was talking about with their list, and after season one that we thought might be able to turn things around and get things going really on their terms in season two. And that didn't happen, but that doesn't mean that the players, who clearly were thought of very highly pre-season last year, have gotten any worse. Things just went awry for whatever reason. I've got to get to the bottom of that. But these players, the list can still play. There's still an enormous amount of talent on the list. But it didn't click for whatever reason, but you don't get an expectation of grand finals and premierships if you're no good. And that's something that the girls, I'll be trying to reinforce to the girls, that sometimes if you can't play anymore, you've forgotten how to play it. For whatever reason, things didn't work. And my job's to make them work. So I'm really bullish. That's why I was pretty keen to get this position. I'm really bullish that this team has got a fair bit to give, let alone the fact that we can upgrade and top up our list, hopefully in the next little while with the trade period and obviously the draft at the end of the season.
I mean, I guess there's no real use going looking back and saying this, that, you know, the other last year. You've really just got to take it as you find it and move it all forward and restore the, you know, faith the girls have in themselves, but also as a team.
Yeah, and that goes to a comment that Dennis Pagan used to say when I was at Carlton in 2004. He would say, you can't spend your life looking in the rearview mirror because you're crashing the car in front.
Mm.
You know, look through the windscreen. Look ahead. Look through the windscreen and see what's in front of you. And I think that's right. But whilst that could be great for learning and for analysis, there's no need for the girls to be focusing on what's happened. We've got to focus on what will happen, what can happen, and build towards that. And that's, I think that's apparent for everyone, the competition. That whilst, yeah, you learn and you analyse and you work out what didn't work and how you can perhaps fix it, the last thing you want to do is spend time there, because it's a pretty nasty place. Things can go well, so you don't want to spend too much time there. Let's move forward and see what we can do to rectify it.
I totally agree. So, Daniel, we want to say thank you so much for coming on.
We decided we were going to call him Half.
Oh, Half, sorry.
Yeah,
aren't I formal?
We went through this.
Oh, okay. I'm just getting the stare over here, Half.
I only get Daniel when I'm in trouble.
Okay. So, Half, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Wish you all the best with Carlton next year, and we'll be there cheering the team on.
And Bree Davies.
Good on you, ladies. Been good fun. Enjoyed your support. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Cheers then. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Good spirit.
I realised by saying Daniel, I sounded like a mother.
Yeah,
that's
you did.
Terrible.
Well, we'd had this whole conversation about can we call you Half?
Okay, I'm forgetful. Now, and speaking of forgetful, Breeza has pointed out that I forgot a match.
The Q Clash.
The Q Clash.
Oh, the Who Cares Cup. Yeah.
Well, and Bree said, oh, no, that's mean. You can't say that.
Oh, no, that's actually what the game's called.
It's called the Who Cares Cup. Brisbane 71, Sun 76.
Meh.
So just remember, you can contact us on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Motti. You're listening to me on Chicks Talking Footy.
Joy.
Now, we've had a good show.
This is Chicks Talking Footy.
Yeah, oh, sorry, that's right. Chicks Talking Footy. This is Motti. We've got Bree and Beck as well.
Breeza.
It's been a really good show, but it's only going to get better because we've all been waiting for this moment. Over to you, Beck Dahl, for Specky Becky's Barrel.
I feel like we need a theme song for it.
We need like a drum roll.
So basically what this segment is going to be, that just started so may go terribly, is my barrel. My beef, my soapbox, if you will. The name of my segment this week, which I've underlined in my notebook here, is called Go the Early Crow.
Fair enough too.
Now, conveniently, that's named after the team I support, but the early crow is when you get a little bit excited about things ahead of time. I'm upset about this, Motti and Bree, because it is round five.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, the way that people are talking about the games at the moment is as if it's round 22 and we know who plays the finals. Rodney Eade, also in my notebook, as a person who's really gone the early crow, last week at the Port and Cats game, he said, this is an 8-point game. It's round five. It does not matter. And I have this real beef with people getting really overexcited at round five about the impact that games may have on the rest of the season.
Yes.
Can I give you some games?
Oh, games. Mm. I thought the gays? What are you talking about?
The gays, the games are all involved. Can I give you some examples, evidence
please,
to support my going
go
the
ahead,
early
caller?
What research have you got?
I've done research, Bree. So I've got two big examples for you.
Yeah.
One of them is Sydney in 2017, last season.
Yes.
You might remember Sydney in 2017 lost their first six games. Now, people going the early crow, what would they have said?
They're gone.
Missed the finals.
Yep.
Exactly. But no, they then won 14 out of the next 16 games and played in the semi-final. So if you'd gone the early crow on Sydney, you would have been wrong.
Stuffed, they would have been.
Wrong.
Now I've got another example. Almost the reverse. Mm. North Melbourne, 2016. They won the first nine games of that season. What would people who have been going the early crow said?
Premiership favourites.
Correct. And they did, Bree. They did. But you know what North Melbourne did then? They lost 10 of the next 13 games, finished 8th, played in an elimination final where they lost to the Crows by 10 goals. Case closed.
Well, I reckon there's other limbs to going the early crow.
Oh.
But sorry, may I first?
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank
well done.
Applause for the inaugural Specky Becky's Barrel.
Yes. Thank you.
So do you think... Here's Gazza.
Thanks, Gaz.
Touching our buttons again, you know, it is so lovely.
Mm, it is nice.
One thing I saw on the internet, which I think I sent
to
you,
the internet, the World Wide Web.
Yes, was I love the comparisons of who is closer to a flag.
I know.
Like, have you seen them in round five?
It's so absurd, but it's like they need something to talk about. Because my favourite is always about the Brownlow.
Oh, yes.
That is absurd. This week when Mitchell had done the...
The elbow.
Who did he hit again?
Goldstein,
yeah. I mean, he needed a stepladder for starters, didn't he, to get up to Goldstein. But when there was media people talking about that, it was all about, oh, the Brownlow's in jeopardy, the this, the that. Well... To quote Bechdel, it's only round five. No one's won the Brownlow.
Well,
for starters,
correct. And I can imagine we get to Brownlow in however many weeks, 6 months or whatever, and it could have Mitchell three votes. He could have no votes for the rest of the season. Don't go the early crow on the Brownlow, Motty.
It's just crazy that they that's the thing they lead with. It's not a.
And also, I think the early crow, much like the Sydney example, can go the opposite. So if teams are losing, even now, they're like, oh, well, Hawthorne done. Melbourne done.
St Kilda done.
These teams could all win the grand final. I mean, probably not St Kilda, probably not Melbourne, and probably not Hawthorn.
And probably not Essendon.
No, but you get my point. Yeah. Anyway,
yes.
Pepper going the early crow has got up my goat this week.
Well said, Beck.
We're now going to have a crack at Motty's Magics and Tragics.
Oh.
Which I think the best part is the title.
Yeah, I can.
But so chime in if you like. And anyone at home, please do come up with your own.
We've had a message from Fee.
Let's tell our listeners what this segment is about.
Well, Magics and Tragics. So magic is obviously some good points. Tragics are bad things that
I see what you did there, Monty,
with
the title. Well,
isn't it amazing?
Well done, you.
I know, I'm really impressed by it. but I sort of fell off a little bit after I got the title. But anyway, still, we'll go for it. And I've got another segment too that just came to me.
Motty's algorithms.
The algorithm, I don't know.
Segments on the fly now.
I've got another segment. It's called Get a Tat.
Get a Tat.
Maybe I'll start with that one.
Yeah, get actually a tat. That sounds more fun.
Because Get a Tat is about people that are just too nice and they need to get a bit more guts about them.
I like
I'm talking
it.
To you, Joe Danaher.
Joe Danaher.
Stop smiling and loving everyone. Get a tat and
get
be a bit
a
mean.
Ooh, I like that, Motty. Yeah, get a tat.
Yeah. Let's write this down.
So we'll just write get a tat down.
You know who else I think needs to get a tat? What's his name? Swallow.
Oh, David Swallow.
Yes, get a tat.
I was just silent because I couldn't remember which one was still playing.
Yes, yeah. Get a tat.
Get a tat. There you go.
Right.
Okay, that's weekly. That's just we'll tick that off.
I can't tell Dusty to get a tat because he's got too many.
No, Dusty, lose a tat. That's the other
that's
segment.
Right.
He did a double don't argue on the Friday. Did you No. What day are we?
Excuse me, Bree.
Wednesday.
Please wait.
Okay, sorry.
The Magics.
Okay, go.
Oh, sorry, we're back to that
sorry,
segment.
We're back to that.
Because Dusty, at the 20-minute mark of the last quarter, fended off three opposition in the space of 15 seconds. Yeah. How do you learn how to do that?
Yeah.
I reckon is that what you were just saying?
Yes.
On the mean streets of Richmond.
It was amazing. Seriously.
It truly was. Yeah. And Richmond's social media was, what's better than one, don't argue? Three.
It's like when he's trying to get a turmeric latte on Swan Street and he's just going to say, get out the way.
It was amazing to watch. He just went, oh, man.
Get out of my way.
Is that a magic?
That's a magic, yeah. A tragic is obviously Lindsay Thomas. He's my first tragic.
Yeah, he's a trag.
Another
Sicily
tragic.
Sicily would be tragic.
Yeah, but
I mean, I don't want to go too many of them because then it just becomes about that sort of stuff. This tragic is for Frio and West Coast over the Glendinning medal.
Oh,
for God's sake, grow up, will you?
Get a medal.
Glendinning's more West Coast than he is Frio. And,
no one cares.
And it was the CUB sponsorship that Frio had. So now we can't agree, so we're not going to have a medal.
But is their game called the Derby?
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it the Derby medal?
Yeah, I think they probably
like the
will
Crows
now
and Port
or something.
Call theirs the Showdown medal. Just call it what the game's called.
Even
I know,
today,
but the pettiness of it.
Anzac Day medal.
Yeah, I see where they got that idea.
Yeah,
it was simple and it was clever.
Mm. I know, but it's a bit petty, isn't it? Well, we're not going to have a medal at all.
Yeah, no one's getting a medal. No,
I'm taking my ball and bat and going home.
Exactly. Now, any we got time for any more magics?
Oh, look, sure, why not, Motty? You're on a roll.
Look, obviously I was watching this match, so a lot of them are coming from this match. Richmond, another one.
Dustin Hoffman was playing.
Another magic is I've just written Dimmer because I know I've mentioned it on the show before, but what a turnaround that this man has created in 2 years, in himself and therefore in the team. And the tragics, basically all of those, me included, that thought the Tigers were done. It comes from the top, so we acknowledge Peggy and Brendan as well as Dimmer, but it is down to the coaches who speak to him. So well done, Dimmer, and he's at magic and I'm a tragic.
I think that was an excellent segment, Motti.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think you should keep going with
it. Okay,
but I also enjoy Get a Tat.
Which do you like better? I think I like Get a Tat
better. Like, okay. If I was going to choose, like if we're having a vote, I'd probably choose Get a Tat.
I'm just writing that down. T-A-double-T. Do you think an exclamation mark or just no exclamation, just Get a Tat?
No, I think it's going to be a hashtag.
Hashtag
Get a Tat.
All right.
Do you think Dyson Heppel needs to get a tat?
No, he needs to get a bloody haircut. That's what he needs to get. Don't get me started.
Does he need a tat?
No.
Like after God.
Maybe a little one on his ankle or something.
Mm. Like a butterfly on his lower back. Actually, if he had that, Tramp he might have step. Stood up to Brendan Goddard today.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's what I know. That's where you were going with it, wasn't it, Bree? Well, that's a very good point. Anyway, that segment's over.
Gaz and is winding us up with good reason.
We're all delighted with the success of the new segments. You know, those of you at home listening are, I'm sure. You are listening to Chicks Talking Footy and we love that you are.
I'm Katie Brennan from the Western Bulldogs. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You are with Chicks Talking Footy, and what we forgot was there's a round of football coming up, so I'm going to whip through it, and we're just going to say who we think's going to win.
Okay. Yeah.
Dogs versus Carlton on Friday night.
Dogs.
Carlton.
Oh, my God. Oh, Dogs. I don't know. Saturday, Cats versus Swans.
Cats.
It's down at the at Cadinia, so Cattery. For sure. North versus Port.
North. Ooh. In an upset.
Yeah, North.
It's not an upset. They're third and Port at eighth.
Yeah, but they're North.
Yeah.
Such a good, story in North Melbourne so far.
I'm going to pick North too. Giants versus Brisbane.
Giants will shellack them.
They will. Yeah. They'll go. Hawks versus Saints.
I'm going to pick the Saints.
Yeah, Saints.
Sorry, Fee. Fee messaged in and said hi. She won't after I said that.
Yeah, she's just going to retract that text now. Yeah. I'll go Hawks. Crows versus Suns.
Oh, we're the pride of South Australia.
We'll all go the Crows.
Crows. Yeah.
Sunday.
Oh, your mob.
Oh, my mob. Essendon. I mean, this is seriously cellar dwellers,
isn't it?
Essendon v Melbourne.
Nil all draw.
I hope the fans turn up for this game. Continue to support your team.
I think football will be the winner on the day.
Yeah, but that's because there's two other matches.
The Bombers. Demons.
Oh, God. I was really starting to like you, Brie. Anyway, okay, next match, Pies versus Tiggies.
I'm gonna tip the Pies in an upset.
You're still being contrary.
Yeah.
I'll pick the Tiggs.
Yeah, Tiggs.
And Dockers v Eagles.
It's the Derby.
I'm going to tip the Dockers in an upset and no one to win the nothing medal that we're not talking about.
Yes, Eagles.
Dockers as well, I'm going to go. No, I'm changing that. Eagles. Now, you've got a quick message for us, Beck.
Well, we did have a quick message from Fee to say hello, but I've got a quick community notice board I'm going to read really quickly. This Saturday marks the 5th anniversary of the Yarra Valley Pride Cup, and the Yarra Glen Football Netball Club and the Alexandra Rebels will be fighting it out to see who is the Pride Cup recipient. For the first time, a women's Pride Cup will be held between the St Kilda Sharks and the Eastern Devils from 10 a.m. at the Yarra Glen Footy Ground. Family entertainment, food, drinks, special guests including Abril Latrine, Hannah Mountsey, Daniel Kowalski. Oh, and James Lillicato. He wrote that, so I'd read it out. That was a bit
sneaky.
And was Jason Ball there?
No, he wasn't, but I'm pretty sure Jason Ball will be there.
Given he started it, I reckon that'd be the one. Well, that has been a stunning show, my friends. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, loved it.
It's helped me get over my disappointment of my stupid team.
I'm glad we could be here for you, Motti, in your time of need.
Yes.
I mean, I do love them, but really it is frustrating, isn't it?
But that's football, isn't it?
Yeah, it is football.
And that's Chicks Talking Footy. So thanks very much for listening to us. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the Joy website. And
let us know what you thought of our new segment.
Exactly. And feel free to
engage with us on our socials this week.
Hashtag get a tat.
Hashtag, that's right. Hashtag thanks, Gaz, for pressing our buttons.
And while you're there on iTunes, rate and review us. So thanks for listening. See you next week.
Go Crows.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.